Welcome to All Learning Reimagined, the podcast that defines convention and redefines the purpose and practice of education. Here we venture beyond institutional boundaries to explore visionary ideas, transformative narratives, and pioneering voices shaping a future rooted in self-directed, heart-led learning. Whether you're a parent, educator, or curious mind devoted to lifelong growth, this is your space to challenge assumptions and co-create a more humane and intuitive approach to education. We believe that learning is a natural act. Together, we'll uncover stories, cultivate wisdom, and engage with practices that empower learning as an organic, soulful journey. Let's reimagine what education can be.
Hey, g'day, and welcome to All Learning Reimagined. I'm your Teresa, your host, and I'm bringing you a little ray of sunshine as together we're reimagining the future of education, one inspired story at a time. Oh my gosh, guys, today I've got something really, really cool to share with you. I want to talk about critical thinking and propaganda and how we can approach this. Because it's a huge concept and a huge topic, but how can we approach this with children and teenagers? And I've literally just published an article on the bbsradio.com website with all of the handouts, all of the stories, and lots of different ideas and things that we're going to cover for today. So check that out at the end of the show if you can. I mean, I guess we're probably going to be having a propaganda at propaganda. And, oh gosh, the reason why I'm doing this today is because last year I was in a very small chat group online and a friend of mine made a comment about pyramids, the possibility of pyramids being in Australia. And I remember seeing that, and I don't know who retweeted it or who forwarded it, because it wasn't on Twitter. But who forwarded that message? But weeks later, I actually saw that message come up again and again on different channels. And recently, here we are almost a year later, it popped up again on a completely different social media platform. And it made me stop and wonder how, one, something that was so private can get out there, but how easy it is to take someone's idea and spread it anywhere in the world, because as we know, human brains are very programmable, particularly by repetition. If we see something over and over in a variety of different ways, even or even the same thing, then we're more likely to believe it. So whether you believe it or not. So, you know, there are lots of theories about propaganda being on television and in the news, and but social media and online can be a very dangerous place for our children, who are often given devices at a very young age and not necessarily the discernment skills to know that what they're seeing or thinking or hearing or reading, anything that's absorbed in their field, is correct or not. So it's almost like giving a baby a loaded gun when you give them these devices with internet, with no filters, and just let them have at it, because it's shaping their belief system. And as we know, our subconscious pretty much directs our life. So that's the reason for the show today. And basically what I want to do is I'm going to share a story with you, and then I'm going to unpack a unit of work that I created just for fun last year, purely for fun. It's not for assessment, but I did do it with a group of students last year, and it was very engaging and very effective, can I say, with improving their critical thinking skills with their research and the way that they are approaching anything online. So that's sort of the prefaces around that, because, I mean, let's face it, propaganda is a little bit like Chinese whispers game on steroids. It's everywhere that we go. I hope that sort of puts us in the picture. I guess the other concern that's coming from my heart is the amount of children who are just consuming information that's outside of themselves, and they're really disconnecting from their inner knowing with that discernment. So that is one other tiny little thread. Well, it's not even tiny, it's a huge thread in the unit of work that I'll talk about at the end of it. So on to the story that I want to share with you today. This one's a really old one, and I just don't know where I even first heard this story, but I have been telling it for decades. And every time I tell this story, it's a little bit different, depending on who the audience is, basically, and who I'm talking to. But it does make the point that I want to make today. So picture this: we've got a mother, a young mother. I'd say she's probably in her 30s, and she's in the kitchen and she's preparing a roast. For a roast dinner for the family. And she has a daughter sitting there, probably around 8 years old, sitting on the kitchen bench, at the kitchen bench, just watching her mum prepare and cut and you know, wash vegetables and do all of these sorts of things. And the mother at that stage was decided she was going to be preparing the roast beef. So there's a large slab of roast beef on the kitchen bench on a chopping block. She then took a huge knife and she sliced probably about a third of the roast beef off and put it to the side, and then she wrapped it up and put it back in the fridge. And this one particular day, her young daughter was watching, and she actually said to her, "Mum, Mum, why do you always do that?" And Mum said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "Every time we have a roast, you cut off a section and you wrap it up and you put it back in the fridge. Why do you do that? Like, I don't understand." And the mother looked a little bit perplexed and she said, "I don't actually know. That's just what my mother used to do. Like, we've always done that. This is how you cook a roast. This is what you do." So they decided that they were going to ring grandma. They rang the mother, or the mum's mum, or the little girl's grandmother, and asked her and said, "Why do we cut a third of the roast off before we put it in the oven?" And the grandmother said, "Oh, well, that's what my mum does. That's how I was taught. That's what you do. That's how you cook a roast." And they didn't really think anything of it. Weeks later, they actually managed to catch up with the great grandmother. They went and had a visit, and the little girl actually said, "Great grandma, can you tell me why do we cut a piece of the roast before we put it in the oven?" And the great grandmother sat there and thought for a while, you know, "What are you talking about?" And then all of a sudden, the light came in her eyes and she started laughing and laughing and laughing. And she was going, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe that you are cutting the roast. Why would you do that today? I don't understand." And the daughter and her mother said, "Well, you know, that's what we're doing. We cut a section of the roast and then we put it in the oven." And the great grandmother said, No. When I used to cook, we had a very small oven and we had a very small roasting pan, and I could never fit the whole side of roast beef in the pan. So I had to cut the roast to be able to fit it in the pan and put it in the oven. Today, you've got large ovens and large roasting pans. You can fit the whole thing in. So I don't know really why you're cutting the roast." And there was an aha moment. So the mother felt very embarrassed. The little girl thought the whole thing was quite hilarious, but the message that really came through quite strongly is sometimes in our lives we do things because our mother did them, or our father did them, and then their parents before them did them, and so on and so on. And we've never questioned it, because when you grow up in this surroundings, doing things, saying things, believing things that your parents or your family or your community do, and you just don't question it, because children learn by observing their adults around them, in this realm anyway. So it does actually beg the question, are there things in our life currently, right now, that we need to ask ourselves, you know, why do we do this? And why do we say what we say? And why do we believe what we believe today? And is that still serving us, or are those actions and beliefs outdated? Was it something that was done out of necessity at the time, but is no longer serving the reality, the now that we are living in and creating right now. The other thing that this leads to is, do we actually have the courage, like that 8-year-old girl, to ask the question, and to question what we're doing? And that really is what sparks and leads into the activity that we're going to do, or I'm going to be sharing with you today as well. But before we do that, I really would urge you to stop and ponder. There are so many things in our lives, and I'm seeing it more and more. I feel it more and more every day. I'm starting to question, why do I do this? Why do I say that saying? And when I do that, it often brings a lot of stuff up for me. But the question is that the curiosity is a really great place to start, particularly for critical thinking, because if the adult is not doing it as well, then how can we expect critical thinking and discernment in our children and in our teenagers? So before I looked at this with the students last year when we created this unit, the first thing we did was actually looked at the word propaganda. Propaganda. Where did the word come from? I'm a huge fan of going back to the true meanings of words, and the etymology dictionaries are fantastic. There's heaps of them online, some of them more accurate than others. But I would really highly recommend going out and researching different words and keywords and what their true meanings are. It's quite fascinating. And the term propaganda actually comes from the Latin word propagare, which means to propagate, to spread, or to extend. And this word first appeared in the context in 1622. So back then we had Pope Gregory. He established a congregation for the propagation of the faith. So it was part of the Catholic Church's mission back then to spread Christianity globally. It was what they did back in the 1600s, the propagation of faith. But over time, since then, propaganda has evolved to describe the systematic spreading of ideas or doctrines or practices. And in today's world, we seem to think that propaganda is quite manipulative, and its biased persuasion is how that has morphed over time. And that's where it has come from, propaganda. Even the word itself is really interesting to identify what is propaganda and what is not. What is fact and what is opinion? And what makes it a fact? The conversations that I have had with children where they believe that, if someone's wearing a name badge, if someone has a position of authority, if someone's published a book, then they must be an expert. And let's face it, in today's society, anyone can publish a book, and anyone can wear a name badge, and anyone can put on a white lab coat and call themselves an expert. But does that actually mean that what they say or what they claim is true? How do we prove that? And where is the line between propaganda and what's factual and what's provable? And it's a really rich, great discussion to have with children. The whole, do your own research seems to be bandied around the last 5 years in particular, and people say, oh, go and do your own research. Well, you know what? As a child, my do my own research was to read, basically. Read from a variety of sources. I didn't have internet when I grew up, but I would read from a variety of sources, and I'd go and talk to people that had all sorts of different opinions, and I would get all sorts of different perspectives, because that's healthy, before I made up my own mind. That was what was called doing my own research. Today, everyone just seems to think that, well, not everyone, some people feel that doing their own research is just simply typing it in Google, and then whatever comes up is the research. And this is the conversation to have with children today. What search engines are you using? Because all the search engines run on algorithms, and different search engines produce different information, which we actually did find out in the unit of work that I'm about to explain to you. It was amazing that on Google, there were some YouTube clips that were not available, but when we used Brave or DuckDuckGo, the YouTube clips came up. And the children were really surprised that there was censorship of these YouTube clips, because of the content of those YouTube clips, just from that search engine. And it did actually open up a whole world of, do your own research means looking at perspectives from many different places, which also links me back to the very first show that I had a few weeks ago when I talked about perspectives. If you are at an event or you are living history, doing something, everyone is looking at it with their own lens. No one is seeing the big picture at that time. You're looking at it with your own belief systems, from your own perspectives, and you're seeing what it is that you feel like you're seeing with that lens that you are looking through. And so that is another way that propaganda can start, by not necessarily having a look at the big picture and looking at all perspectives. So these sorts of conversations are really valuable to enhance critical thinking skills, not only in children, but in adults at the same time. Because I mean, I'm guilty of it, doing a quick research and then going, oh, okay, this is the facts, and not going and checking again, or even tapping into my own self to go, ooh, is this true for me? And then going back to the question, like the baking tray, of asking why. Why do we believe this? Who said this in the first place? How did this information start? Where did it come from? And unpacking the words. I hope this is all making sense, because I have so much to share. I just don't know. My brain is rattling around really, really quickly. So last year, this is it. This is the unit that I did. Was it like a research challenge? I had a student when I was talking, who came up and was trying to tell me that Katy Perry is a robot. She was dead set. Katy Perry is a robot. I've seen the clip on TikTok. I know it's true. It's everywhere, miss. You need to know this information. She was really passionate about the fact that Katy Perry is a robot. That's what she truly believed. And then we did have a discussion on the fact that our senses, well, at least our five main senses that get pushed in mainstream and certainly in education, can't be trusted fully because they can be easily manipulated. I mean, humans have a lot of different senses, like a sense of balance, etc. But if you're in a desert and you think you see water and then you go up closer and then it's a mirage, our eyes can be tricked. Movie magic, face masks, I mean, Mission Impossible basically discloses that information as well, is everywhere. So the conversation I had with this young girl is, I'm not saying I don't believe you, Katie. There could be versions of clones of Katy Perry out there, absolutely. However, how do you know? How do you know that what you saw is true? And she didn't know how to answer me. And so that's what sparked the idea of, what are these children seeing online? And it could be anything that they are just blindly believing, particularly if it comes from a website or someone with a position of authority. How do we know that they know that what they're saying is true? They might truly believe in what they are sharing online, but let's go back to the source and where it came from, and is it actually serving us? So the intention for this unit was to really focus on critical thinking, investigate popular theories and stories that were circulating on time online at the time, and we really wanted to discern what is fact, what can we actually prove, and then what is opinion, and what could possibly be propaganda. It was so much fun. And so in this unit, the children were given, I think I researched, oh, I don't know, about 40 different popular conspiracy theories. And oh my gosh, even that reading that list was fun. And they had to try and prove, is this theory true? So in small groups, they were able to choose a theory, and they chose one that they were very excited about, because or one that they personally thought they wanted to research. And then they had to go about trying to prove that it was true, which was hilarious. So they had a worksheet, which I have actually just published with the article on bbsradio.com. And on the worksheet, the first step that the girls had to do was they had to research, what does AI say? mean, let's face it, they're all researching artificial intelligence anyway. So let's have a look at this because this is a huge part of being discerning and not just blindly believing what's presented to you. So they had to research using AI. They used a variety of different AI, ChatGPT and Azure and Grok and Perplexity, Gemini. And they also had to use a variety of different search engines. They were not allowed to just use Google. That in itself really brought up a lot of questions. And in the end, I actually had one student that said to me, "How do we know what is even true?" She was quite frustrated, and she was questioning everything, which was the whole point. We wanted them to stop and just not blindly believe everything that's presented to them via algorithms, and then stop and go, "Oh, is this true? Let me go and cross-reference. Let me go and look at different places, and let me see if I can find out a look at bias, look at censorship, look at algorithms, and consider how do we know to trust this information." From here, the girls had to try and put all of the information that they found about their alleged theory into two columns, either facts or opinions. Now, some of the theories were, I'll read you a couple of them. The moon landing was fake. The earth is flat. The Bermuda Triangle is a portal. Australia is not a country, it's a corporation. Some birds are spies and mechanical robots. Smartphones listen on private conversations. Oh my gosh, that one was a popular one. And one group actually did a social experiment on it and proved that it was true. So that was really fun. Humans can breathe underwater without equipment. Dinosaurs are actually dragons. The Tartarian Empire was a real civilization. The Simpsons predict the future. Giants lived on Earth. Coca-Cola used to have cocaine in it. I mean, you get it. I did research a lot of different theories, and then I came up with age-appropriate ones because there's some pretty dark stuff out there, really heavy, depressing stuff. So I picked more of the fun ones, and then the girls were actually able to choose which one resonated for them. And some of them came up with their own. One student wanted to do Min Min lights because her dad had seen them in the Australian outback. So she really wanted to research what was a Min Min light and are they true? And so she sort of went on that tangent as well. So that was pretty cool. So going back to facts and opinions, they really need to go, they really had to try and put that information together. And in the end, the majority of the information that they came up with ended up being in the opinions column because they just couldn't fully prove it. It was actually an eye-opener for me as well. And from there, the students then on the handout then had to, oh, I forgot to mention that they were also encouraged to go home and talk to families and friends and neighbors. They were allowed to talk to anybody and everybody to get their opinions. The only person's opinion that they were not allowed to ask was mine. So I kept my mouth shut the whole time. I had some very strong opinions about some of the topics that they chose, and but they were not allowed to ask me, and I did not share mine at all because I did not want to influence whatsoever anything that I was thinking. I wanted them to genuinely try and work this out for themselves. So the next step, and this one was fantastic. I loved this. They had to then go and find their theory or their alleged theory or their possible propaganda and identify it observed through entertainment. So in movies and songs or artwork, so that any entertainment they could find that perpetuated that theory or had that theory in there. And this was explosive. Oh my goodness. There are so many of the theories on the list that we could find in movies and in entertainment, which then led us to the huge conversation around human subconsciousness. If we're constantly exposed to information, whether it's in entertainment or in alleged factual information, and repetition programs our beliefs, then if we see things many, many different times, even if it's in entertainment, is that really programming our subconscious? We did have some really deep conversations about this, and we didn't come to a conclusion as a group. Many of us had different perspectives, but it really did raise that question, why, and plant that seed to feel into discerning the information and what they're watching. and really we had big conversations about horror movies and what it was doing to your subconscious as well, and the frequency and the energy and your whole field, because we are electrical beings. So this actually sparked off on other things, which I can talk about on another day, but just for the purpose of this unit, that section on the worksheet. So they looked at what does AI say, then they researched many different platforms, what are facts, what are opinions, they talked to people, and then they went and looked in entertainment to find evidence. And the last thing that we did, and this one was the crux for me, and this was actually one of the main reasons I wanted to do this unit, was they had to then take all of that information. We took our shoes off, we went and sat outside, grounded ourselves, and we had to sit still. Because as we know, monkey mind is like water, it's fluid, it's constant movement, and it just doesn't stop. The girls had to be still and silent to really tap into their own intuition, their own hearts, their own space, their own gut feeling to think, okay, I've got all this information. Now, what do I feel? Now, what do I believe? Not what all of the adults around me tell me or what online or books have told me. What do I actually believe? And then they had to try and make their own decision. I did talk to them a little bit about kinesiology. We did talk about how your body can tell you, your body speaks to you if you listen to it and you feel into it. Sometimes your body, you say a topic and your whole body feels like it's smiling and it just leans into it, or it might lean back. And so our body is always giving us cues for what we're feeling if you are not distracted enough and you're tuned to your own self. So this was a really great part of this unit of work. And tapping into your emotions and what you think, what resonates for me. Some students really struggled with this, and others just loved it. They really took to it and have used it ever since, because I've seen evidence of that. So that was really fascinating, I feel. The last thing that the girls had to do was when they finished all of that, they were then had to present this information to an audience. And they pretty much had carte blanche. They could, as long as they were creative, they could present it in any way, because it's not being assessed. It wasn't being judged. They just needed to express what they found and how they felt and what they thought. And so some of them produced songs, poems, we had posters, we had speeches, some of them created movies, some of them made pottery or 3D 3D clay and 3D paper mache objects, told stories, we had PowerPoints. Oh my God, it was amazing. It was amazing what they came up with, and it was so much fun. So I highly recommend, if you are interested, going and checking out the article that I just published on bbsradio.com, and the handout is there with the instructions of what I did. And also, there's another story. There's a different story. It's a tale about a digital jungle with lots of questions and activities for young people, for parents or educators of young people that do something a little bit similar. And check it out and start being curious and asking questions and modeling to children how we can discern the information that is presented to us, and not just blindly take it for fact or truth, and teach them what the word propaganda means and the fact that propaganda isn't always just a conspiracy theory. I could talk for days, but I'm running out of time, so I am going to wrap it up there. Thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody. We have a fantastic show next week. We've got a wonderful guest, Laurie Douglas, who's going to come and talk to us on self-empowerment. And I urge you to go to bbsradio.com and check out the article. Until next week, I would love to urge you to go out and live learning. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for joining us on All Learning Reimagined, where passion illuminates the path forward. Remember this: The future of learning doesn't arrive from above. It begins within. You are the spark, the shift, the living answer to education's silent call for transformation. So stay curious. Stay awake. Let inspiration be your compass. Because how we learn today is not just personal. It is profoundly generative. It shapes the very architecture of tomorrow's world. We are not separate from the system. We are its evolution. Until next time, trust the wisdom of your own unfolding and let your life be the lessons that light the way for others.